You can be seated. You've been standing a long time. Thank you so much. Thank you to our choir, our singers, our worship team. We'll be back and having a time of worship even together. I want to also say thank you for your faithfulness in giving and praying. Last night, as we said, we released and launched our Farsi channel. I believe that is channel number 14. That adds up. We are right now approaching with Indonesia. That happens in August. We will approach about 6 billion people that speak those 16 languages in all the world. So last night, as we launched Farsi and Arabic has been launched, that equals 500 million people in the Middle East. So we are praying that the gospel goes out to those nations. Tonight, we speak to the war in Ukraine and Russia. We do have a Russian channel that has been launched. And then tonight, I want to talk to you about something that I think is very important that God put on my heart. I want to talk to you about 43 Mile Friends, because you being here tonight, this is what you are. I want to define this from the book of Acts for just a moment. Current events happen so fast and so much takes place that what was news last week doesn't even seem to be news this week. That you hear something and something just overwhelms it. And then what a tragedy from last week. Now all of a sudden we're focused on something else this week. It was February 13th, 2022, that we woke up to the news that Putin and his Russian army invaded Ukraine. I remember that Sunday waking up and hearing about this. While others were, just as vividly as I remember waking up on Saturday morning, October 7th, when Israel was invaded by terrorists from Gaza. I remember that as I remember what happened when Russia came into Ukraine. And it was amazing to me, because this is why this is so important for us, especially here. I want to say this, those that are watching around the world, it is something that we in America need to learn. And that's why these prayer meetings are so important. I want you to listen to me very carefully. It is so easy to get caught in our zip code mentality. It is so easy to get caught in our American and Western mentality that we forget what is happening around the world. And that's why it is important that God is asking us to steward what he is doing here in New York City, thus these three nights of prayer meetings. The reason why I remember why the Ukrainian war and the Russian invasion that took place is because it was that Sunday that would become, or Monday would be, Valentine's Day. And it literally happened the day before Valentine's Day. And my heart broke, because I knew all the nations that were represented, that we would have Russia and Ukraine not only in the building but watching online. And my heart, I don't say this, I ask God to protect my heart. I don't say this with an arrogance, and I don't say this with even a heart that would try to of haughtiness. But my heart broke, because it broke for the American church, because while most of the American church stayed preaching on a relationship series because it was Valentine's Day and teaching about how to date your wife, we have a world that is burning in front of us. We have a war, a world war that could begin to come right in front of us. And folks, it was a war that right now up to 500,000 people have died. 500,000 people died. There's 8 million refugees that are spread out all over Europe that have lost their homes, lost everything. And folks, if there's ever a time for the church, let's say the church in America, to rise up and be the church, it's now. It's now. It's now that we do this. And I plead with leaders. I plead with pastors. Don't get locked in. This world is bigger than our zip code. This world is bigger than what we have just in front of us. And this is so important for us. Thank you for your generosity. We have, by God's grace, I thank God for the money that has gone to child crying to support refugees in these places. You've made that possible. You've been a true friend to widows and orphans and the homeless and the alien. It's been the heart of God. God told the children of Israel, as soon as they got out of Egypt, he says, do not forget that you once too were aliens. You once too were foreigners. As you were in chains in Egypt, don't forget that. And that's why he said, show mercy. Show mercy. Listen to what he says. He says, God says, you must not mistreat or oppress foreigners in any way. Remember, you yourselves are once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must not exploit a widow or an orphan. If you exploit them in any way or they cry out to me, then I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will blaze against you, and I will kill you with the sword. Then your wives will be widows and your children fathers. If you lend money to any of my people who are in need, do not charge interest as a money lender would. If you were to take your neighbor's cloak as security for a loan, you must return it before sunset. This coat may be the only blanket your neighbor has. How can a person sleep without it? If you do not return it and your neighbor cries out for your help, then I will hear them, for I am merciful, God says. God calls his people. Thank you, Times Square Church. Thank you for all those that are watching online, for being a friend to Ukraine, being a friend to those that are in refugees. When talking about friendship, I remembered something that was said once before. John Collins said these words: in prosperity, our friends know us, but in adversity, we know our friends. When you're doing well, everybody knows you. How many know that's true? When everything's going, they're going like, can you spare some of that money? In adversity, we know who our friends really are. In Acts 28, the Apostle Paul is in adversity. It's the last chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to find out if he has any friends. The Apostle Paul has just landed in Rome where he will meet death. But something happens that can't be overlooked in this chapter. There's something extraordinary of what happens with friendship. I want to read to you a verse that I've read through so many times, but it just began to come alive to me. Listen to Acts 28:15. The brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and three inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked them and took courage. Thank God and took courage. Look at that again, because it may not mean much as Paul is just leaving a shipwreck, landing in Rome. And the Bible says, when the brethren heard about us, they came from there as far as the market of Appius and the three inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and he took courage. This verse is literally just power-packed for the Apostle Paul. This is friends in adversity. Let me explain. Acts 21 through 23 took place in AD 59. Acts 24 through 28 then begins to take 3 years later. What we're reading takes place in AD 62. This is 3 years later. But this whole journey to why Paul needed those people to show up started 3 years earlier. Let me explain. We're dealing with a very tough 3 years of prison for the Apostle Paul. Just as we are looking at four years that Ukraine has been under siege from Russia. 4 years. Paul has been faced with 3 years of literally being in prison. He has been defending himself against angry mobs. He has faced unexpected amount of tragedies. And he finally lands in Rome in Acts 28. And this will be the last place he will live before he is beheaded by a crazed emperor named Nero. And I want to take you through his journey for just a moment. It all starts getting really just insane. His February 21st, his moment really came in Acts 21. Paul will never be out of chains ever again, starting in Acts 21:30. He is chained and then put on a ship. He's in a shipwreck and stranded on an island. While building a fire, a snake bites him, and yet God protects him. But because God healed him from the bite, everyone thinks he is a god, little g, and he has to end up convincing them that it was a miracle of God. He ends up staying on this island for 3 months until he finally, the ship comes and rescues them and gets them back to Rome. Think of this for just a moment. The man that has landed in Rome, I want you to get this. He has skin and bones from malnutrition. He has a snake scar on him. His wrists and ankles are raw from being chained. And what you have to understand from being chained up for months, he has not been in a real bed or had a normal meal for months. And now he is about to go before a godless emperor, Nero, who will sentence him to death. And when all of this seems to be mounting up against the Apostle Paul, Acts 28:15, which we just read, shows up. Not just shows up, people, friends show up that care about this man. They take this important journey to get there. A Pi or a Pius is a 43 Roman miles away. We call them 43 mile friends because these people found out that when Paul landed in Rome, they would walk 43 miles to go encourage a man. 43 miles. That means this is unbelievable. I love that Luke, the writer of Acts, uses a Greek word. We would just read, and they came to meet us. But it was bigger than that. That Greek word that Luke uses here is of a people going to meet a general, a king, or a conqueror. They showed up to this general of the faith that will become a martyr, whose letters would be encouraging to us in 2026. They came 43 miles to say, we're here. We're here to be here and stand with you today. They go to meet Paul as a general. And it's so important. Paul thanks God and takes courage. It lifts his heart and spirit because he realized he isn't alone, that the body of Christ was there to encourage him. 43-mile friends showed up for this man. Every time someone makes a sacrifice to call you or encourage you, that's a 43-mile friend. Every single time you're visited in a hospital, that's a 43-mile friend. When someone sends you a Bible verse or texts you something that I'm praying for you, those are 43-mile friends that can just go on with their day, but interrupt their schedule, their day, and say, I need to put courage in that brother or sister. That's what happens with the Apostle Paul. I found something that I didn't even realize, that the largest mall in America is the Mall of America in Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota. 5 million square feet. 5 million. It contains 2.8 million square feet of retail. Houses more than 520 stores, 50 restaurants, and a 7-acre Nickelodeon Universe theme park. One lap around the mall is approximately 1.1 miles. This is unbelievable. But here's what I've learned. There is no heating system there. There is no furnace that's there. You know what I found out? The primary heat source, they said, that keeps 5 million square foot mega mall warm is the people that show up there. They heat it up with body heat. They heat, how many would like that for your house so you don't have to pay a bill in this New York winter? The Mall of America, they said, is so populated that in the dead of winter, their body heat keeps the mall warm enough. When there is no heat, and folks, I'm telling you this, the people heat it up. I'm telling you, and it started to encourage me, that when there seems to be no hope, the body of Christ can come together. And all of a sudden, where there has been cold, there comes heat into the place because the people of God are here. Send the people of God and they will heat up a place. Send the people of God into Ukraine and they will bring hope. Send, you don't need all the fluff and everything else. If God's spirit is inside of us, he will be there and do something for those people. It's so important. We have no names of those who showed up for Paul, but it was so powerful. Think of this. It kept him alive for 2 more years. When those people showed up, courage came to him and he was alive for 2 more years. Listen to it. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one tried to stop him. I believe it was from those friends that put courage inside of him. They showed up like he was the Mall of America. And all of a sudden, what was a cold spirit or maybe feeling down, all of a sudden, God began to do something. I got a phone call from one of my precious friends on the West Coast who is faced with just a challenge. I want to just be careful with names. And in his family, there was something that just affected them, a sickness that came suddenly to the family. And I asked them, I said, are they up? They're laying in bed. I said, are they up? And they said, yes. I said, put them on the phone. We're going to pray. Put them on the phone. And folks, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came down. And it was like, it was like the spiritual mall of America. What seemed to be downtrodden, it was like the three of us were on that phone and God showed up. Do you understand how important this is? This is so key to be a 43-mile friend. Like these no-name people who encourage Paul, it cost them time. It cost them to get there. You become a 43-mile friend to Ukraine and Russia because you came tonight to pray. You gave over the years to help the widows and the orphans and the refugees. It's amazing. This is incredible because it says if you walked a quick pace and made a mile for every 20 minutes, it was 15 hours of walking just to encourage him. 15 hours. It's such a quick passage, and we forget the 15-hour walk that these people go, let's go see him. Let's be there for the Apostle Paul. Let's do it. You came here tonight from New Jersey and had to get through that World Cup traffic and had to pay that congestion tax coming in that clicked your license plate. You had to pay for parking over here. You had to pay on the transit to get in here. You came from Staten Island, the Bronx, Queens, or Brooklyn to New York City. You had to, instead of going home tonight, you left your job, you left your business, you left the company and got here tonight to pray for Ukraine, to pray for Russia. You came despite World Cup between congestion, traffic, going home. You said, I'm going to do this for friends in Russia and Ukraine, and you made it here tonight to encourage those people. It's not 43 miles, you're 4,800 mile friends. From JFK to Kiev is 4,800 miles. You're bigger than that. 4,800 miles. I have 43 mile friends in my life who have made journeys to encourage me and gave me strength to go on. Those are the people in adversity who would be there. Can I just help you tonight and just define something? Just because you're friends with someone on social media doesn't mean you have friends. Can we just establish that? Just because you hit like, follow, or friend doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going, oh, look at me, I have 300 friends. Yeah, see if they walk 43 miles. See, just because you went ahead and clicked something doesn't mean you have a friend. But when you come tonight, I believe when you come to show Ukraine and Russia that you will pray, you will stay, you will give, you will be part of this tonight. I'm telling you, you're showing yourself friendly. And the Bible says this, a man who has friends must first show himself friendly. And I believe when you show yourself friendly to the refugees, to those that are in distress, I believe God will begin to add to your own life tonight. Thank God for you that are getting it right. You've been a friend to Israel. You've been a friend to the Middle East and Iran. You've been a friend to Russia and Ukraine, and you've made the sacrifice tonight to come, to pray, and to give. That's why we've told you each of the nights. Job 42:10, look at this. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his what? And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. The Bible says God took care of Job when he began to pray for other people. God's going to take care of you tonight. This is about Ukraine and Russia. This is about Israel and Iran, the Middle East. This is about praying for those. And I'm telling you, those that are online, those are watching around America, break out. Break out of a zip code. Break out of a political party. Break out of a religious denomination and just say, I want to see bigger. I want to see like God sees this. I want to be a 43-mile friend that would begin to stay on a Tuesday night when everything in me says, where are you going tonight? When all the people are going after work, where are you going tonight? I thought you'd get on the train and go home. I'm going to church. And they thought you were out of your mind. But you are here tonight. You made the walk. You made the walk to encourage. I have to tell you this as the band comes, as Willie comes, I want you to listen. This story gripped hold of me. I have a son who swam for Liberty University. He's finishing up his graduate degree there. He swam the breaststroke. So I've had my share, Cindy and I've had our share of going to swim meets and watching, and you're there for 2 hours to watch 60 seconds. We love that, son. So this story caught my attention. It happened in the Sydney Olympics in 2000.
And I was just amazed. I didn't even know this story. He was called Eric Musambani, the swimmer. He was from Equatorial Guinea. He was the most unlikely hero of the Sydney Olympic Games. Listen to this. This 22-year-old African man had only learned to swim in January at a hotel pool and was going to swim in the Summer Olympics. He just learned to swim in a pool. They said a 12-meter pool. And here's, the International Olympic Committee has a special program that permits poorer countries to participate even though their athletes don't meet the standards. So they took the man that trained, that learned to swim in January in a hotel pool and said, you're swimming the 100 meter. So they take Eric Musambani and they put him in there. And here's what's amazing. So he's in the qualifying round. There's three swimmers. The two of them disqualify themselves from false starts. So it's Eric all by himself who's about to swim, who can't swim hardly. Listen to this. They said, the Associated Press just said he was charmingly inept. He never put his head under the water surface, flailed wildly to stay afloat. They said with 10 meters left to the wall, he came to a virtual stop. And he said, and some in the arena thought he was going to drown. Then 17,000 people stood up and started to cheer for Eric to finish the race. And while this man, no one knew what was going to happen to this man who learned to swim 6 months ago, as he's standing in the Olympic swimming pool, the only one that's there, finally somehow dog paddles to the end. And it says that after what seemed an eternity, the African reached the wall and hung on for dear life. When he caught his breath and regained his composure, he said, they've interviewed this man like he won the gold medal. And this is what he said. I want to send hugs and kisses to the crowd. Their cheering kept me going. Their cheering kept me going. Can I tell you tonight, for you to be here tonight for Ukraine and Russia is to be part of those 17,000 that says, you're going to make it. Don't give up, refugees. Widows that have lost husbands and fathers and mothers that have lost sons. It's going to take a church from 51st and Broadway, not just giving, but praying tonight. Praying and standing and going as they're flailing, not even know if they can touch the wall. It's going to take people tonight that says, we're here to pray. We're not here to pray for us. We're here to pray for you. That they would touch the wall. Stand with me. They would touch the wall and finish the race. Do you understand how important it is? You're a 43-mile friend to be here tonight. You interrupted your whole schedule and said, I'm going to be here tonight. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be part of what God is wanting to do. Folks, I wish I wrote this. I didn't. I read something that says, what makes a good church? What makes a good church? You ready for this? They said, if all the lazy folks will get up and all the sleeping folks will wake up and all the discouraged folks will cheer up and all the gossiping folks would shut up and all the dishonest folks would confess up and all the estranged folks will make up and all the disgusted folks will sweeten up and all the lukewarm folks will fire up and all the dry bones will shape up and all the sanctified folks will show up and all the true soldiers will finally stand up, we can begin to see what God wants to do again. Be the church of Jesus Christ. Be the church of Jesus Christ. This is where we begin to wake up, pray up, sing up, teach up, stay up, and never give up, back up, shut up, because Christ has come and to save us, to be 43-mile friends tonight, to inconvenience our schedule. Everyone that sits on the stage, you are inconvenienced just to be here tonight. You had to get through traffic, get on a train, and you always get on, I don't know if you're like me, you always get on the car that the air conditioner doesn't work. Anybody with me on that? It's like there's 15 cars and I choose the one that it's broken. You have been true friends to Ukraine. You have been true friends to Russia. You've been true friends to the Middle East by being here each and every night. You've been friends. Tonight, you're 4,800 mile friends. That's JFK to Kiev. And so tonight, I'm going to ask you to take that step. I'm going to ask you to put aside everything and just say, they need me tonight. I need to pray and cheer to get them to the wall. Can I just tell you, from the people that we've talked to, the people that I get emails, at Treg and Liliana and the missions department, listen to me. Some of them are flailing and they're 10 meters from the wall and they need somebody to pray to get them to finish the rest of the way. They need somebody. They just need gossipers to shut up. They need the sour-faced people to sweeten up and let it go. They need for the weak to stand up, the soldiers to bow up, and finally just go, let's get them to the wall. Whether in our giving, whether in our praying, whether by you being here tonight, let's pray them to finish their race. Let's pray they stay strong and they wouldn't give up tonight. 43 miles for Paul, 4,800 miles right now for Ukraine. We're gonna stand with them. And so as we finish tonight praying, you're going to get a video update from Pastor, from a video update of one of the Russian pastors. And then Tatia from Pastor Ruslan, Pastor Ruslan from Ukrainian. And then Tatiana from Russia. And then there's going to be a prayer moment. Tim Ivanishuk and Stan Juk are going to come out. Tim will pray in Ukrainian. Stan will pray in English. And can you just realize tonight for just a moment that you're standing here in this place. And as you pray, whether you understand the words or not, whether you know the people or not, let's get them to touch the wall. Let's get them to finish. Let's get them to finish. I don't know how much time this war is gonna go on. None of us do. But don't forget them. Pray for our friends. So when you give, we're able to do child cry, our child cry programs there. When you pray, we're able to encourage them. So tonight, can we just put everything aside and say, let's get them to finish this race. Let's pray they stay alive. Let's pray that they're protected. Let's pray this war ends in Jesus' name, that He makes all wars cease in Jesus' name.